Good evening. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Welcome to our Maundy Thursday service. Welcome to Holy Week, where we accompany Jesus on his last night on earth before his death. Tonight, we recall the night that Jesus was mocked and tortured and led away to be crucified. We call it Maundy Thursday because of the Latin word mandatum, meaning commandment. In particular, we remember Jesus' commandment to humble ourselves and love one another as he has loved us. Tonight's scriptures describe Jesus becoming the latest casualty of government censorship. Herod and others acted on their belief that Jesus was an existential threat to their reign of autocracy and terror. Then the very people who had cried out for him to save them in a parade on Sunday were duped by Herod's propaganda once again, calling for their Savior to be crucified in place of a murderer. We name this tragedy as we monitor news of all forms of brutality and war and cruelty and discrimination. We recognize what Jesus will say in response to the Jewish leaders who want to kill him when they asked, "What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth will listen to my voice." And so, we mark this night each year because Jesus was so dedicated to serving the realm of God up until the bitter end, and because of Jesus' love for us. Let us worship as we accompany the suffering Christ. Please join me in the call to worship. Beloved of God, we meet to accompany Jesus on his final journey. This night, we mark his betrayal, his trial, his torture, and his death. Even through the pain of Jesus' final moments, we remember Jesus' love for us and his dedication to God's hope for the world. Let us experience anew the end of Jesus' life, his love for his disciples, and his sharing of the first communion. Let us share together in grief, in love, and in thanksgiving. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 257, "What Wondrous Love Is This?" You may remain seated.
Thank you. Please join me in the opening prayer. God of love, tonight we share the experience of pain and cruelty that is too deep to bear. Even in our heartbreak, help us keep watch with one another. May our grief move us to offer God our praise for Christ's amazing love for us. Amen.
The time has come to share Holy Communion with one another, remembering the first time that Jesus did this with his disciples. And this is a reminder that we joyfully celebrate an open table here in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are, what has happened in your life up until now, whether you are a member of this church or not, you're welcome to share in this with us. He was always the guest. In the homes of Peter and Jairus, Martha and Mary, Joanna and Susanna, he was always the guest. At the meal tables of the wealthy, where he pled the case of the poor, he was always the guest, upsetting polite company, befriending isolated people, welcoming the stranger. He was always the guest. But here, at this table, he is the host. Those who wish to serve him must first be served by him. Those who want to follow him must first be fed by him. Those who would wash his feet must first let him make them clean. For this is the table where God intends us to be nourished. This is the time when Christ can make us new. So come, you who hunger and thirst for a deeper faith, for a better life, for a fairer world. Jesus Christ, who has sat at our tables, now invites us to be guests at his. As we prepare to take communion, let's sing, Let Us Break Bread Together.
Thank you.
When we join in this ritual, we remember what Christ first did. To his followers in every age, Jesus gave an example and a command, rooted in the experience he shared with his disciples in an upstairs room in Jerusalem. On the night which he was betrayed, as they were sitting at a meal, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Every time you eat this, do so in remembrance of me." And then after they were finished eating, he took a cup. And poured it out. And gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my blood, poured out for you. This is the cup of the new covenant, given for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins." Every time you drink this, do so in remembrance of me. So now we do as Jesus did. We take this bread and this cup, the produce of the earth and the fruit of human labor. In these, Jesus has promised to be present. Through these, Christ can remind us that we are both loved and lovable. Let us pray. God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, for you made us, and before us you made the world we inhabit, and before the world you made the eternal home which through Christ we have a place. All that is spectacular, all that is plain, have their origin in you. All that is lovely, all who are loving, point to you as their fulfillment. And grateful as we are for the world we know and the universe beyond our understanding, we particularly praise you, whom eternity cannot contain, for coming to earth and entering time in Jesus. For his life, which informs our living, for his compassion, which changes our hearts, for his subversive presence, his innocent suffering, his fearless dying, his rising to life, breathing forgiveness. We praise you and worship him. Here too our gratitude rises for the promise of the Holy Spirit, who even yet, even now, confronts us with your claims and attracts us to your goodness. Therefore, we gladly join our voices to the song of the church on earth and in heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And now, lest we believe that our praise alone fulfills your purpose, we fall silent and remember him who came because words weren't enough. Setting our wisdom, our will, our words aside, emptying our hearts and bringing nothing in our hands, we yearn for the healing, the holding, the accepting, the forgiving, which Christ alone can offer. Through the broken bread, we participate in the body of Christ. In the cup of salvation, we participate in the new life that Christ gives. The gifts of God are given for the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready. prayer of thanksgiving. Christ, who has nourished us, is our peace. Strangers and friends, old and young, he has broken down the barriers to bind us to him and to each other. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please join us in our next hymn, number 272, Go to Dark Gethsemane. At this time, we will be entering into the Tenebrae section of our service. As readings happen, the lights will progressively dim until there is almost no light left in the sanctuary. Let us remember the story that has been kept for us.
I'll be reading from Matthew 26, verses 20 through 25. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12 disciples, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so."
Luke 22, 40 through 44, Matthew 26, 40 through 45. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew them about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again he went away for the second time and prayed, My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Now the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners.
I know the time has come as I bow my head to pray. It's time that we will share before I will go away. I leave with you a sign of the life that we all share. And though I won't be with you, please remember that I'm there. Yet even now, God's dream is close at hand. You may not know it now, but one day you will understand. As I have shown the way, so I follow the divine, to make the world anew and give weary hearts new life. My spirit will sustain, but still my body is weak. Yet even through the pain, God forgive them anyway. Yet even now, God's dream is close at hand. You may not know it now, but one day you will understand.
Matthew 26, 47 through 50, and 55 and 56, the betrayal. While Jesus was still speaking, Judas, who was one of the 12, came. And he brought with him a large crowd carrying swords and clubs. They had been sent by the chief priests and the elders of the people. His betrayer had given him a sign. "Arrest the man that I kiss," he told them. Just then he came to Jesus and said, "Hello, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." And then they came and they grabbed Jesus and arrested him. And then Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come with swords and clubs to arrest me like a thief? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, but you didn't arrest me then. But all this happened so that the prophets said in the scriptures might be fulfilled." And then all the disciples left Jesus and ran away.
Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 62. Then they seized him and they led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a female servant, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else came. On seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then, about an hour later, still another kept insisting, "Surely this is a man also who was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And at that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And then he went out and wept bitterly.
Reading from Matthew 26, verses 59 through 67. The chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they could put him to death. They didn't find anything they could use from the many false witnesses who were willing to come forward. But finally, they found two who said, "This man said, 'I can destroy God's temple and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood and said to Jesus, "Aren't you going to respond to this testimony that these people have brought against you?" But Jesus was silent. The high priest said, "By the living God, I demand that you tell us whether you are the Christ, God's son." "You said it," Jesus replied. But I say to you that from now on you'll see the human one sitting on the right side of the Almighty and coming on the heavenly clouds. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He's insulting God. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, you've heard his insult against God. What do you think?" And they answered, "He deserves to die." Then they spit in his face and beat him.
Mark 15, verses 12 through 20. Pilate replied, "Then what do you want me to do with the one you call King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Why? What wrong has he done?" They shouted even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate wanted to satisfy the crowd, so he released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus whipped, then handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the courtyard of the palace known as the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole company of soldiers. They dressed him up in a purple robe and twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on him. They saluted him, "Hey, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck his head with a stick. They spit on him and knelt before him to honor him. When they finished mocking him, they stripped him of the purple robe and put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
They dragged him away like a threat, not a savior, not a healer, a threat. They came for him with swords and chains, with hearts hardened by fear and hands ready to seize what they didn't understand. And Jesus, he didn't run. He stepped forward, knowing what was coming, knowing betrayal had already bloomed on the lips of a friend. He said, "I am he." And even the soldiers stumbled back, because truth doesn't need to shout. It just is. Still, they took him, bound the hands that had only ever lifted, blessed, healed, and held. They tied love up because love like that was too powerful to be allowed to roam free. And we still do it. We still bind love with our silence, with our excuses, with our comfort-first lives. They passed him from one authority to another. No one wanted to blame, but no one stopped it either. They mocked him, called him king, with spit in their mouths, wrapped him in purple, not in reverence, but in ridicule. Pressed thorns into his scalp until mercy bled from his head. And then Pilate held him up and said, "Behold the man," like he was a warning, like he was nothing. And the crowd, oh, the crowd, they chose Barabbas, because violence is easier to understand than sacrifice, because we'd rather be ruled by rage than transformed by love. They gave him a cross and made him carry it. Alone. Bruised. Barely breathing. Still today, people are forced to carry what they didn't deserve. Still today, we watch others collapse under weight we refuse to share. And then, they nailed him. God, nailed. Steel through flesh, hammered down like love had no place left to go, and the world kept spinning. People watched, some cried, some jeered, some just looked away. Because watching love suffer is too much when we know deep down we helped put it there. He said, "I thirst," and they gave him vinegar. Because even in his final breath, the world couldn't offer tenderness. Still today, when people cry out, we offer bitterness, policies and platitudes, cheap versions of compassion. And then he said, "It is finished." But it didn't feel finished. It felt like hope had stopped breathing. It felt like justice had been buried. It felt like the world had chosen power over love one more time. They pierced him just to be sure. They took his body, the same body that fed the hungry, that touched the outcast, that carried peace into chaos, and buried it like he was nothing. Wrapped him in linen and silence. And maybe that's what undoes me. They treated love like it was disposable, like it was dangerous, like it was over. And we still do. We are still the crowd shouting for blood instead of healing. We are still Peter pretending we don't know him to keep ourselves safe. We are still Pilate, washing our hands while people suffer just beyond the gates. And yet, even now, Jesus still steps forward, still carries what we won't, still whispers through the wreckage, "I love you still." But don't race to the tomb. Don't skip past this. Don't numb it with theology or wrap it in metaphor. Sit with it. Feel it. Let it break your heart. Because this is what happens when love refuses to give up, even when the world gives it nothing in return. This is not the end, but it feels like it. And that's what makes it holy.
John 3, I assure you that we speak about what we know and testify about what we have seen, but you don't receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you don't believe now, will you believe it if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the human one. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son, so that everyone who believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him isn't judged. Whoever doesn't believe in him is already judged, because they don't believe in the name of God's only Son. This is the basis for judgment. The light came into the world, and people love darkness more than the light, for their actions are evil. All who did wicked things hate the light, don't come to the light, for fear that their actions will be exposed to the light. Whoever does the truth comes to the light, so that it can be seen that their actions were done in God.
Thank you to all of our readers. As we prepare to close, Deb Van de Zand, on behalf of the media team, has put together a presentation based on The Sound of Silence by Disturbed. When the media team was considering the passages of today's scripture, they found some real resonance in these age-old lyrics, and this particular version of this Simon and Garfunkel song by the band Disturbed was also deeply resonant to several members of this team. After I give the benediction, I invite you to remain for the singing of our final hymn. After we finish singing, you may stay as long as you like and pray. And when you're ready, please leave in silence. And I invite anybody who would like to join us at the Waupun United Methodist Church for our ecumenical service tomorrow at noon in their sanctuary. Friends, may you move into this night, recognizing your Savior's love for you, the love that will bear the ultimate cost, the love that will work for justice and hope until the bitter end. May that love be your guide as you move through these days of grief. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.